Ponderings over tea with Mary Phyllis
and Annalie. So today we were thinking, when we get started, we really have to start with the basic question, right?
Yes.
What is God?
Right. I hear some people say it's God as the Father, and they think of a male image, or a woman may think God the Mother.
Right.
And they think of a female image. And I hear so many different names for God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit in the Christian tradition.
Right.
And in the Judaist tradition, there's at least 77 different names for God.
Oh, what?
And I think it's a Sufi or one of those others has over 100 names for spirit. So there are all kinds of names. What is God?
Really?
Whatever. And the Buddhists, they talk about that God is so vast, we can't possibly have a concept within our own human minds. So let's just start where we are and deal with where we are and not worry about that.
Right, exactly. So what we're trying to do with all these names is really to pin down God, right?
In a way. And it seems like the more we try to pin down God, the more there is beyond that.
Right. That we're not even considering.
Yes.
When we try to name God. Yeah. It reminds me of the Samis in Northern Europe, you know, they have like over 100 names for snow.
I know.
So that they will be able to, you know, what type of snow do we have today?
Yes.
So we could speak about God in that way also, really.
Yes.
What type of God do we have today?
Yes.
You know, wouldn't that be good?
Uh-huh. So, Annalie, how do you perceive God? What's your concept?
Yeah, the thing is, for me, God is more non-personal. I have a hard time figuring God as a person.
Mm-hmm.
It's God is more of a sort of, when I think of it more intellectually, I think of God as more of a universal force.
Yeah.
And I sort of want to understand that force. And of course, in a way, thinking of love as a force of the universe, and that God is love.
Yeah.
It's very hard to put a face on love. I mean, love can be every face that is loving.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
So for me, but still God is very palpable, and I even believe that it's possible and even easy to communicate with God.
Yeah.
So in a way, that's a personification, right?
Yes.
Because if you communicate with someone or something, I mean, then there is still sort of that personal connection. But I just don't have a face. I don't have a face on God. I don't have this personality thing for God. What were you going to say?
Well, I was just thinking that somewhere in the Old Testament or in the Jewish tradition as well is said that we are made in the image of God.
That's right.
And I think maybe that's where this thing, this old man's face, this looking like the human.
Right.
But that doesn't make sense to me.
Exactly.
It seems to me that the image of God is our soul, our inner spirit, and there is no way to give a description to that.
Right.
We can say what we feel, we can say who we are and all that, but we never quite can get to what is the soul. So,
exactly. We don't have a face on the soul except for our sort of our bodies, right?
Yes.
So, and that's also the thing with what I'm thinking of God, that we're made out of matter, right? Our bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And that's in one end of the spectrum of what we are. But there is so much more. It's not just our skin and our sort of what we can feel and send with our senses, that the matter of God, if we are an image of God, it's so much more.
Yeah.
And we can't see it, smell it, or maybe we can, but it's so much more than the physical matter.
Yes. I think this is really getting into the spiritual component, the spiritual realm, which is going into the invisible.
Right.
Invisible realms.
That there is invisible realms.
Yes.
And that we can sense them. And this also is, for me, interesting when thinking of what God is or who God is, because I'm very interested in science.
Mm-hmm.
So when I read about quantum physics, you know, the new theories that have come about the physical world, which is physics, right?
Yes.
And the universe and not everything is a planet or matter,
mm-hmm.
Or this matter that we know in mm-hmm. our everyday life. There mm-hmm. is so much more,
yeah.
which is very interesting. So the quantum physics is sort of a part of my understanding of God, but that's, of course, more when I think of it intellectually. But yeah. how about you, Mary Phyllis? What is God for you?
Well, I tend to...
Or spirit, right?
Spirit,
you speak yes. about spirit.
I prefer to use the word spirit, but I'm comfortable with any word that somebody else says, because I figure it's all, like, the different languages, difference between French and Chinese and Siberian and all the different languages right. that we speak. There's different languages within the spiritual as
yeah.
well.
Yeah.
When I say spirit, I think of a capital S, and I think of it as God, the angels, the archangels, our spirit guides, our souls, all of
wow.
this in one big parcel.
Right. There's a lot of sort of
yeah.
spiritual beings there, right,
yes.
in your world, yeah?
And the Native Americans in a lot of their cultures say the great spirit. In other words, indicating that there are other spirits underneath, but there is a greater one above all the rest.
That's true. I haven't thought about it that way.
And
the great spirit.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you think of the Hindu, of all the different gods. I was just thinking about that this morning.
Yeah.
And I was wondering, do they have one that is over all the rest of the gods, all over all the gods?
Right.
I don't know. I have read some about that religion, but I don't know much about that.
No,
part of
I don't know either, really, about the Hindu. But it seems like in all, when we look at other religions that have been sort of around before Christianity, maybe, and
yes.
Islam and so on, which have one God, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or Judaism.
Mm-hmm.
Is that there is usually more powerful spiritual beings. There
yeah.
are different gods, and then there's sort of an all-seeing, all-encompassing
yes.
being also.
Yeah.
Isn't that usually the case?
Yes, that is able to see over all the rest. And
right.
then delegates to the other ones
right.
going down the line, so
right.
to speak.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about... a story I got from my Lutheran pastor in
yeah.
Sweden,
uh-huh.
which is kind of funny, and it also sort of gives a picture of this question that we're talking about right now. If we imagine God as a huge, really universally huge elephant,
mm-hmm.
okay, so you see this elephant,
mm-hmm.
and it's so huge that God, this elephant, is standing on top of the earth. So the one leg is somewhere in the south and one is up in the north at the North Pole, or maybe the trunk is at the North
yeah.
Pole, I don't know. So there we have this huge elephant, and the various body parts would be spread out over Earth. So the part we perceive where we live, like now in where we are in North America,
mm-hmm.
would be, for example, one of the feet.
Mm-hmm.
And we're totally, you know, interested in exploring this huge foot, and trying to understand it, and so we have this image of what it is, but
mm-hmm.
we don't see the whole elephant, we just see that part. So in another part of the world, they see some other part of this elephant, and they're equally interested in exploring and looking and finding out. So what I like with this picture is that we can explore some part of God
mm-hmm.
that we are near,
mm-hmm.
but we cannot perceive the whole elephant.
Right.
It's impossible, you know, from our little position to actually grasp the wholeness. And that connects back to what you said about, you know, the great spirit.
Yes.
And what the Buddhists said, that you can't
yeah.
really understand
yeah.
God in full, because God is so much bigger than our senses.
Yes, yes. So we almost have to go where we are and understand that maybe in one religion that we're discussing, like Christianity is discussing love.
Right.
And in the Buddhist is discussing, you know, compassion.
Exactly.
And another Taoist is discussing balance between the emotional and the mental.
Right.
And each one has its own special focus, obviously more than just one topic like love or whatever.
Yeah.
But I'm just using that as an illustration.
Yeah, exactly.
And
I agree.
And each one of them, if we bring in each of these, all of these together, we would say, you know, we have a lot more in common than we have different.
Right.
So why are we concerned?
Why do we have to decide what God is, really?
Yes.
And say, oh, it's not that.
Yeah.
Or, yeah. And it's hard to say, you know, to speak about God, really, because, as I said now, it's not that is God it's, you know, to put a way to talk about. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's easier to say spirit as you do.
I say that because it feels more more in the unseen realm.
Right.
Yeah.
It implies that it is sort of a place.
Yeah. And where my soul, my spirit can get in contact. And it feels so much more comforting knowing that there is that realm, that unseen realm that's covered by spirit in some way.
Right.
Which is much clearer.
And it's like Jesus said that heaven is not a place in that sense.
Yeah.
It's within.
Yes.
So that also implies that there is sort of, maybe it's a space. It's not a place, but it's a space.
Maybe it's a different dimension. No, it's more, it's all dimensions. It seems like God has to encompass all dimensions, encompass all the physical.
Right.
There's some people say that pantheism is where you ascribe to God being in every rock and every piece of dirt and every drop of water and so on. But if we say God is not that, then I say, well, where did all this come from? Oh, that came from someone else. Well, if it came from somewhere else, that means our idea of God is limited.
Right.
And that there has to be a much greater God over all of that.
Right. Some creating force.
Yeah.
That is... No, of course, that's right. God has to be a part of everything that is created.
Yes, yes.
Otherwise, I mean, if we're speaking about the one and only God, then this God or this spiritual realm must be in everything.
Yes, it's inevitable.
Yeah, it's logical.
Yeah.
So... what do you think, Mary Phyllis, about then the communication with God? Is that possible at all?
Well, I think that's what we do when we pray.
Right.
And if we know we're communicating with God, if we can send a prayer up and feel a communication, but we also can realize that God is listening and hearing us by our experiences. Well, my sense of it is that when I pray to God, I feel a connection. And then I feel like there's some energy coming down around me. Everything is fine. Everything is well.
Yeah.
But I don't get specific words or images usually.
Right.
It's only when I'm later in action in life that I start getting a feeling more guidance. Or if I do what I call shamanic journey, which is a form of meditation where I can ask questions, then I can get something very specific. But that's a whole different subject.
Right.
But to me, prayer is when we are talking to God, we are starting the communication and the connection and communication. And then what people call meditation is where they allow themselves to be open to God's answer, whether they get an answer, whether we get a feeling, or we're just clearing our thoughts so that we can keep the channel open to get the information.
Right. Now we have several different ways to communicate here.
Yes.
So prayer, in a way, because when we speak about prayer in general, it's sort of understood that we are asking something or telling something to God or to spirit, right?
Yes.
But it's not really... praying, in the general sense, for me at least, is not that we hear somebody communicating back or we are having any experience of that is a two-way communication. It's sort of one-way it's sort of sending out a thought.
Yes.
Or a discussion topic or something that we're concerned about.
Yes.
That was a prayer. And then you said meditation.
Uh-huh.
And you were speaking about having this, when you were active doing something, then you could feel sort of like a communication coming back to you.
Yeah, almost like there's guidance there. All of a sudden, the right thoughts come through, or the right action, or maybe somebody will say something, oh, that seems like it's an answer to my prayer, or in some way.
So it's not really a voice.
No.
No? And they would come back to this impersonal thing with spirit, right?
Yeah, and sometimes if I know I've been praying, sending out prayers for somebody, they say, next time I hear from the they may say they felt something, or they describe an experience, and I realized that maybe my prayer and probably other people's prayers are were being answered for that person.
But not in the typical way that when you and I sit and talk to each other, that there is sort of this two-way speaking, or it's not in that sense that we get an answer.
Right. But and yet
something happens when we pray.
Something does. I can feel it. And I've heard other people say that they can pray and then they do get an answer, whether it is in words or images.
Right.
So it seems like everybody has a slightly different take on what it is. And,
right.
And that's good. If it works for us, it's good.
Right. Because when I think about praying, it's more one way, as we've said. But if I communicate with God, sort of to expect an answer, to expect someone or something to sort of show that I'm listened to.
Yes.
And I guess this is changing today, isn't it? I mean, in the old days, you were like hoping for God, that God would listen to your prayer. You couldn't be sure about that, right?
Yeah.
It's sort of this feeling that you're sending out a cry for help or whatever, and then you hope that God will sort of open God's big ear. And but it's uncertain. It's not expected, and we're sort of humbly hoping that. But this, in my mind, should change. I mean, we should expect God or Spirit to be sort of always interested in what we're.
After all, we're all part of God.
Yeah.
So it has to be like some Native Americans say that the Spider Woman has this webbing throughout all life.
Right.
And in physics, they call about the ethers and the web of everywhere. So what we need to do is to keep our phone line open to God, so to speak.
Right.
And certainly we should be able to at least feel like saying, yes, I'm listening.
Right. All right, so
Ponderings over tea with Mary Phyllis
and Annelie.